Any work of art is basically an arrangement of elements that are part of our culture. The sounds of our shared memories are the building blocks of music. These don't even have to come from musical instruments. The sounds of everyday life, like that of opening a can or starting a car, are just as much a part of our sonic heritage. Sounds enter and exit our collective consciousness over time. It might be good to start thinking about preserving our sonic diversity. Lots of sounds have become functionally extinct. We don't relate to those of hammering rocks to make an arrowhead or of scraping buffalo skin, but others should be added to some sort of endangered sounds list, like those of hand milking a cow or of a blacksmith's hammer. Those were the sonic world of Bach and Mozart. But what about those that were around earlier in our own lives, like the sound of making a dial-up internet connection, rewinding a VHS tape, or starting up a Game Boy? These were the background noise when grunge and old-school hip-hop were being invented. I'm thinking that the rate of sounds becoming extinct will only get faster. Self-driving cars will eliminate the clicking of turn signals and the honking of horns. Drone delivery will eradicate the songs played by ice cream trucks. Luckily, there are a couple online museums devoted to preserving our sonic heritage. Google the Museum of Endangered Sounds if you find yourself forgetting the sound of a rotary dial telephone. For KMUW, I'm Mark Foley.
And you're listening to Musical Space. I'm Fletcher Powell here, of course, with Mark Foley. Hey there, Mark.
Glad to be here, Fletcher. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad you're here, too, because this is something that really resonates with me as a guy who works in radio. I have to build stories with sound.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so understanding almost the musicality of the world we live in just based around the sounds in our lives is something that is certainly really important to me. And not only that, but I remember a couple years ago you did a piece on car horns as musical instruments.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is something certainly that we both have been thinking about for a while.
Yeah, this is a fun meditation on what sounds we actually hear, you know, because in my world it's all about violins and pianos and things like that, but mostly I hear, you know, background noise and kitchen implements, things like that.
The refrigerator kicking on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Something uh-huh. you don't even think about.
Right.
But it's,
uh-huh.
yeah, but it's always there. Well, you brought along a really fun listening list. It looks like a number of artists who have taken what we sort of think of as everyday sounds and incorporated them into their music.
Right. Yeah. So we were just listening to Onomatoguchi. I just love this band. They hack NES systems, so old game systems. I think there's some Game Boy sounds in there, too. And they make them into music. They don't just sample the game systems. They actually hack them so they can play them like musical instruments. And this is from their very first EP, which I'm sure was self-produced on very little money. The EP was called Power Supply from 2006. And this is, I think, the first tune on there called Sting Operation.
You mentioned something here that I didn't know about, which I guess makes sense because you say it was unreleased. Pink Floyd tried to make a whole album out of sounds from household objects.
Yeah, it looks like they were kind of at an artistic crisis around here in 1971. And one thing I love about them is they're not afraid to be experimental. They really took rock in new directions. And I think Syd Barrett was kind of forced out of the band at that time. And so new band members, and they're just kind of casting about. So they decided to do an entire album using only household objects for sounds. It didn't go very far. But wow, the stuff that came out, there's some bootlegs that you can hear on YouTube. They're really cool. This one's kind of an ambient thing they did. It's called Wine Glasses, and that's what it is. I think they're using maybe violin bows on wine glasses to get these really beautiful sounds. But there's another one, I forgot what it's called right now, but it's a little busier, And yeah, they both, you can really tell they're just kind of having fun in their kitchen.
Moving on to Brian Eno, and something that I have thought about, you say he uses the sound of typewriters instead of drums. That's definitely a sound that has always sort of felt so percussive and rhythmic to me.
Right, yeah, and in an old newsroom, you know, that's the sound, you know, like in, you know, old film noir films and stuff, you hear the bells of the typewriter as you have to return the carriage, all that stuff. Yeah, Brian Eno is another one who I love because he's so experimental and just kind of brave to put these kind of sounds in there. This is from his crazy album, Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy, from 1974. The tune is called China, My China. And yeah, he actually introduces what's going on. The lyrics say, they are such fun. They know what God gave them fingers for, to make percussion over solos. And that introduces the guitar solo.
These poor girls are such fun. They know what God gave them their fingers for, to make percussion over solos.
Up next, theme from a movie, and I do remember this one, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, isn't this an amazing soundtrack?
Yeah, just absolutely.
Eerie, yeah, it really fits the subject matter well. Yeah, Jack Nitzsche, kind of a strange kind of composer. You could Google him if you want some interesting stories. Kind of a tragic life, but he uses, again, crystal glasses and a musical saw for the main title of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which came out in 1975.
Thank you.
I don't say this to cast aspersions in any way, but one group that I'm not sure I ever really thought I'd see on one of your lists for musical space is Mr. Big, but here we are. Tell me why you have this song on here.
Well, I'm not really a hair metal guy. That was kind of an embarrassing period in rock, and I love rock, but yeah, all the spandex and the hair products didn't really turn me on. But Mr. Big, you need to know about them because they're a super group. These guys they can actually really, really play their instruments. So, let's give them some love. And, yeah, if you look around, it's not hard to find all kinds of guitarists that are taking guitar picks and putting them at the end of power drills and using them on the guitar. This, I don't know if it's the first, but it's probably the most famous use of a guitar pick on a power drill. And I've seen him demonstrate it, too, and he can put the drill actually up against the pickups of the guitar. So you can hear the whirring of the motor being amplified through the Marshall stack.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's, again, experimental, which turns me on. This is a tune called Daddy, Brother, Lover, Little Boy, the electric drill song from the album Lean Into It, 1991.
Mr. Big there, who, as I said, I never really expected to see on one of your lists, going to someone who I absolutely expected to see on a list like this, John Cage.
I'm going to be the first one to say this is really weird. and John Cage has kind of taken this idea of like meditating on the sounds that we actually listen to and just taken as far as it possibly can go. And he did this in 1966. This piece has been described as his most challenging piece, which is really saying a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. He's the one that wrote a piece that's 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence. I mean, he's challenged everything. But this piece called Variation 7, he just throws in the kitchen sink. There's all kinds of like radio noises. Like he'll have people following instructions where they're randomly picking up different radio frequencies and seeing if any sounds come through. There are telephone sounds. He's putting microphones on all kinds of household appliances. There are frequency generators, which would have been a sound that was going on back then. I know at the beginning of the sound, you'll clearly hear a cuckoo clock going off. I think I'll just leave it at that. This is from a 2011 live performance, Variation 7.
And we will leave you there with John Cage. Mark, super fun today. Thank you.
This is a lot of fun. Thank you.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.